You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it is the final hour of the Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have so much we have to get to this hour, from fighting back against local issues. How do we do that? How are the kids going to be? Is the next generation totally lost? Who's the dumbest member of Congress? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I just want to touch on this really, really quickly first. I know the FISA thing failed today. We got screwed again by the GOP, so on and so forth. But I saw this doozy earlier and I saved it for the final hour. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, you don't know who she is. She's out of Arizona. But she didn't show up today. And I want to remind everyone, the vote today was 212 to 212. 212 to 212, meaning one vote goes the other way and we actually get something decent today. This is what Congresswoman Debbie Lesko had to say. Quote, "I'm very disappointed I was unable to be in Washington, D.C. today due to having the flu. Had I been able to vote, I would not have supported today's FISA reauthorization without protections against warrantless searches of U.S. citizens' communications and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act 702 database." Guys, if I was there today, I would have voted to protect your civil rights. I had the flu, sick as a dog over here, so I just couldn't make it. Okay, first, let's just deal with what you're probably thinking, what I'm probably thinking. Let's just go ahead and get that right out of the way here. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that for a second. I believe somebody, for some reason, didn't want to be in D.C. today to cast their vote. What that reason may be, I don't know. I don't need to make my living speculating on these things. I've done it before in the past on situations that I think are pretty obvious, like Ken Buck, but I'm not going to speculate like that. I don't have any reason why maybe she decided it would be in her best interest to not vote today. I don't know. So let's just set those suspicions aside for a moment. You had the flu? Is that what you just said? You had the flu? You, an elected member of the United States Congress, had a vote today to decide how the federal law enforcement arm, how the secret state police agency, can access my data, your data, your information without obtaining a warrant, and you, even if, let's give you the benefit of the doubt and say you're telling the truth here, you didn't show up because you had the flu? Do you think that you're a maid at Motel 6? Do you think you're a radio host? Do you think you work construction? Do you think that you have a job where you can just stay home where you have the flu? Lady, this was about the civil liberties of 300 million American citizens. And you had the flu? I guess I'm just different than some people. Ugh. Hey, Jesse, you mentioned that if Germany won World War I, there wouldn't have been a Hitler and all that he caused. I've thought this for a long time. I think that if the U.S. hadn't declared war on Germany, they would have won. He's talking about World War I. Then no Hitler. Would there be a Jewish state today, since the Holocaust was the reason so many Jews moved to the Middle East and why the UN authorized a Jewish state? Isn't the Zimmerman telegram what nations have done throughout history, just not with a telegram? Your thoughts. Okay, so let's deal from the back to the front on this, because a lot of people don't know about this. If you ask most Americans why America got into World War I, sadly, most won't know at all. But the ones who believe they do know, they will cite the sinking of the Lusitania. The sinking of the Lusitania. It was a passenger liner. There were plenty of American citizens on board. There were plenty of British citizens on board. There were plenty of munitions in the bottom of the whole thing. And Germany sunk that boat. And yes, that did play a part in it. But what played a bigger part in us getting involved in World War I was the Zimmerman telegram. Now, what was the Zimmerman telegram? Well, we forget how young our country is sometimes. And when we think about ancient America, older America, I think in our minds, I know I do this in my mind, I put it further back than it actually was. In World War I, Mexico was still a little salty about the whole taking Texas away from them thing. And you say to yourself, that's crazy. What? We couldn't, what are they even talking about? I don't understand. That was a long time. We had American generals who were involved in World War I who were in Mexico fighting Mexicans earlier in their career. Do you understand that? That's the truth. My goodness, there's a famous story. Forget about World War I. Patton was fighting Mexican banditos with a six shooter on his arm. There's a famous story about Patton standing there as a young officer when some banditos charge him. He pulls out a six shooter like he's Wyatt friggin' Earp, guns them all down, and drives back into camp with them strapped to the hood of his Jeep. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, Mexico and us, we weren't getting along on all that well. We hadn't been friends for very long and probably still weren't friends, and they were salty about it. So Mexico, they decided maybe it'd be worth it to look into this whole Germany thing. So Mexico and Germany start flirting. Now, why the flirting during World War I? Well, obviously, there were still American-Mexican tensions, as we just laid out. But Germany was very, very salty about something. And to be honest, they probably had a right to be. This was a European war that America was not supposed to be involved in. And it was a terrible, bloody affair. The Germans are killing the French and the Russians, and they're killing the this and the Brits, and that, and all these people are dying, and it's terrible. And Germany is running into something. They're running into British naval power. British naval power. Naval power is so important, and you know how much I love to make fun of the Navy, so that hurts me to say, but it's just historically so important. And today, it's so important to control the seas. Britain controlled the seas, and they were starving Germany to death because Germany couldn't get stuff onto its shores from overseas. The British Navy had them blockaded. Germany had to do something in response. And Germany was offensive about this too. I don't want to make Germany sound like the victim totally in World War One, but Germany had submarines. And they were really good with them. And what that gave them the ability to do was patrol the shipping lanes and do to Britain what Britain was doing to them. Shoot down the ships. Shoot the ships. Send them to the bottom. Take out the merchant shipping. The British people starve. They don't have the munitions. They don't have the food. We're doing to you what you're doing to them. Well, we started to send Britain a lot of stuff. Stuff that was helping them win the war. And there were plenty of lies told about that stuff because Germany starts sinking stuff. We start getting involved. Hey, what are you doing? You're sinking our stuff. And Germany says, well, you're sending them munitions. And we say, well, no, we're not. Okay, there were some munitions, but not many munitions. And it gets complicated. So what the Zimmermann telegram was, we found out the Germans were trying to get the Mexicans to attack us. So essentially attack our flank. Germany was trying to collaborate with our neighbor to attack us. Now, how did we find out about this Zimmermann telegram? Do you know that? Well, we found out about the Zimmermann telegram from the British. How would the British find out? Because the British were tapping lines. Tapping lines they were not supposed to have been tapping. So the British had to show up on our doorstep and say, hey, we were listening in on some stuff we shouldn't have been listening in on, and this is what we found. We find out they're collaborating. Boom, it's on. We're into World War One. All right, let's finish that thought on a couple other things about what if everything would have been better if Germany would have won. Then we have some more Trump talk. Someone wants to talk about birthdays, chicken fried steak. Let's talk about Pure Talk. Let's talk about the greatest cell phone company ever. I love it that I don't have to send money to people who hate my guts anymore. And I love that when I switched to Pure Talk, my service actually got better. I switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk. I used to drop calls in my living room all the time. Now I don't drop any. My family, we pay half of what we used to pay for wireless coverage, half of what we used to pay. You understand how easy it is? You understand you can keep your phone and keep your number? There's not some big thing you have to do. You call them. They speak English. They'll work with you. It's all done over the phone. They mail you a couple things, and you're set. You're spending less and spending it with a country who loves you and loves your values. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. Save a pile of money. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Nice little tidbit Jewish producer Chris dug up during the break. That Debbie Lesko, the one who couldn't show up for the FISA vote today because she was home with the flu, she's not running for re-election. Won three straight elections handily, no problem. Just decided she's out. Oh, you wanted me to do that important vote the FBI doesn't like? I'm sorry. Man, my nose is pretty stuffy. I can't make it to D.C. I would have voted no, though. Oh, did that thing barely pass? Dang, I should have been there. Yeah, I'm suspicious. Yes, I'm a very suspicious person. By nature, I'm a very suspicious person. And by nature, when the government gets this corrupt and your secret state police agencies become this powerful, you should be suspicious at all times. All right, I teased this about 10 hours ago. I'm finally getting to it. Switzerland to hold a referendum that will restrict the population to 10 million until 2015. We have to accept that the leaders of the West need to be replaced. They can't be improved. They need to be replaced. That is our mission. We will start local and expand from there. But the leaders of the West really do hate people. We allowed the anti-humans to take over all of it. All right, back to this thing. His question was, we already talked about the Zimmermann telegram. Essentially, he was asking, would the world have been better if Germany had won World War One, and he goes on to talk about, but if there wouldn't be a Jewish state or whatever. Well, listen, Jewish state or no Jewish state, whatever you think about Israel or any of those other things, I don't know. I guess I'm not Jewish. Maybe I'm not the one to answer, but I don't think the Jewish people are better off than they were pre-World War II. There are still fewer of them. I don't know how you want to try to make that a good thing. And I'm not saying yet that's what you're trying to do, but, you know, would it be better? We wouldn't have a state of Israel. Well, yeah, but you've got the current state of Israel because 8 million freaking Jews had to be exterminated for it. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Jewish people. I'm not one, but if it were me, I would rather have 8 million more people alive. And we lose sight of this when it comes to all genocides, and obviously there have been many, 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 many throughout history. We lose sight of the exponential loss of life, meaning this. Okay, 8 million Jews gone. Well, how many of those people were either of childbearing age or were children who would have been? Okay, so how does that work out? I'm sure someone's done the math. That's another 8 million. That's another 10 million. That's another 30, 40 million. Are Jewish people better off because they have a Jewish state, but they're missing 40 million Jews? That's probably being light, I would guess. Traditional, pretty big families, right, Chris? I have that right? Decent size. Not Amish, but I mean, decent size. Are they better off? I don't know about that. Now, let's deal with the world. Is the world better off? Would the world have been better off if Germany won World War I? Well, I don't think that's even debatable. The world would have been better off. And the world would have been better off if Germany had won it quickly. And I'm not saying I was rooting for Germany in World War I. I'm not really rooting for anybody in World War I. World War I was an ugly thing. There weren't, you know, good guys and bad guys. What, Chris? What was Germany's goal in World War I? Well, their goal was, I mean, they had an alliance, but Germany had been chomping at the bit. Germany and the French especially have been squabbling back and forth over this over various territories and things like that for the longest time. And when Germany was on the come up, late 1800s, when Germany was really, really on the rise and they were churning and burning, what they were finding is the French and the British, I'm sorry, had already colonized all these places on the planet, islands and far-flung places. And so Germany's rising and their people are growing and they're making all these babies and it's booming and the German economy's booming and they didn't have any place to grow. So Germany wanted more stuff. They were all too willing to go invade France and try to take back parts of France that they had previously lost. And they had, it was always going back and forth with those people. I remember we went to Europe. I don't want to brag, but we went to Europe at Christmas time. That's why I'm half European now. But it really was crazy. We went to, Strasbourg. We were in Strasbourg. That's right. We were in Strasbourg. They had this huge Christmas market there, which was really, really cool, I should note, but it wasn't one of my favorites. It was huge and very packed. You couldn't move. It wasn't like the smaller village type ones. Anyway, we went to Strasbourg, but in Strasbourg, they still don't even really know what they are. They were talking about the history of it. Are we French? Are we Germans? What even language should we speak? Should it be German? Should it be French? Some speak one, some speak the other. It's never thought of as why? We're not used to this as Americans, especially modern-day Americans, but that territory's been gone back and forth like it's a football, just passing it back and forth. Germany wanted territory, and Germany, they had the army to do it. They had the military to do it, and again, that's not me rooting for them, but man, that would have been a whole lot less loss of life if they had just knocked out the French right away. They weren't going to conquer all of France. They were going to take the territories they wanted and screw the French people over. What, Chris? Why'd they fail? Well, it's very, very difficult to take on that many nation states and succeed. They ended up starving, really. The people were going through rationing. They just ran out of stuff. Wars are won on the manufacturing line. All right, let's move on. Someone's dealing with some dirtball local commies. Let's talk about that. What do you do? How do you get involved? Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and what a week it has been. We have a lot more I have to get to, and I've fallen way behind, so let's get to a couple things before we check out of here. Jesse, I took my dad out to lunch for his 82nd birthday. I told him it's your birthday. We can go wherever you want. To my surprise, he picked Red Lobster. Per your suggestion, we had the mozzarella sticks for an appetizer. The marinara sauce was the temperature of the sun, but somehow these cheese sticks were the best ever. What's their secret? Don't shake your head, Chris. You've never tried them. I don't know why you don't just go. I keep telling people, no one knows about the Red Lobster mozzarella cheese sticks. It's your loss. Dear Shogun, I just heard some local communist group is lobbying to have a Civil War statue removed from our courthouse lawn in our town. I want to get involved at the local level, but I don't really know where to start. Can you please give me some guidance on defeating these scumbags? Okay, I want to talk to you about me for a moment. Stop, I'm going somewhere with this. But let's talk about the human element. Again, me. You know when I tell you to email the show, love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions, and I give out the email address, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You know that I used to read every single email that came in? Everyone. No matter what. We get way too many now. So Chris, they all go to Chris. They don't come to me. They all go to Chris. He reads them. He prints them. And Chris filters them out for me. If you write some two-pager, it's gone. If it's, you know, if it's something like nasty or something like that, he'll print it for me because it'll make me laugh, unless it's too long and then it's gone. If you're complaining about advertising or something like that, I'll never see it. He just deletes it. It's gone. There are basic things that'll never get to me. He has to pare it down. But one thing I ask him every single day when he hands me a stack of emails when I get here is what? What do I ask you every single day, Chris? Any themes? Are there any themes? What did you love? What did enough of you love? What did enough of you hate? Now, we don't, in fact, I don't know that we've ever had a theme of hatred on the show, but we've had themes, and almost always they surprise us, where, my goodness, half the emails are talking about some stupid torpedo boats. That wasn't half the emails, but that wasn't it. You remember we did the Medal of Honor on Peleliu. Was it last week, I believe it was? If not, it was a couple weeks ago. Themes all week long. Jesse, do more of that one. Jesse, I loved it. A theme. Okay. Well, that I pay attention to because I want to make your day better. Something that maybe nothing to me or a side thing to me, maybe it's something you love. Themes. I want to know themes. Okay, well, that's me. Your local government, your city councilman. Let's just make it about city council, but this applies to school board. This applies to county board of supervisor. It applies to all these things. No one even votes for these people. The number of voters who choose to put these people in office is saddening. It is. It's just heartbreakingly low. No one shows up. Now, that's the people who vote. Voting is easy, especially today. You walk into a voting booth and beep, beep, beep. You press a couple buttons on the computer screen and you hit beep and they print out your thing and you're done. That's voting today. That's voting. And no one does it. So let me ask you something. How many people email your city councilman? How many emails does he show up to in a day? Obviously, it will depend on the size of your city. I bet you if you live in a city of 100,000 people, I bet your city councilman gets 20 a day, maybe. Maybe. Are you in those emails? Your city councilman probably has a Facebook page or an official city website. Have you been to the local city council meeting? Did you bring a friend? Did you bring five friends? He wants to know, hey, they're tearing down a Civil War statue. Well, your dork city councilman, he can only read the emails that are sent. He can only listen to the people who bother to show up. Are you willing to send an email, make a phone call, show up at a city council meeting? I've been this local activist in my life. They were doing something, this is a couple years ago, something despicable in my little community that I found to be detestable. I chose to get involved. I had family, friends, emailing, texting, showing up at city council meetings. I had the thing completely reversed within 24 hours. Boom, gone. Why? I made noise. Make noise. The reason that Civil War statue may come down from your local courthouse is because the 10 dirtball commies in your town care enough to show up. They care enough to send the email, to make the phone call. Don't lie to yourself and say, well, my city councilman, he's this big shot politician. He has so many calls and so many meetings. He would never read it if I sent it. Yes, he would. I bet you money he would. They don't get as many as you think. They're looking for themes, just like here in the show. What's a theme? What you say individually, it's not that it doesn't matter. I read them all. Everyone Chris hands me, I read. But is there a theme? He's looking for themes. The communist is creating a theme for him. Are you? Oracle, who should be awarded the Congressional Medal of Science? Hank Johnson for his research on Guam? Or Sheila Jackson Lee for her research on the moon? That was from Phil. And that is a good question. If you, let's say you had to hand out a Nobel Prize, your first contestant, United States Member of Congress, Hank Johnson.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore? And at its smallest level,
you can tell he's a geographer too.
Location, it's seven.
That's length and width, by the way, Hank. Length and width, that's what you're looking for.
Miles between one shore and the other.
These are the people who make our laws.
Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
I'm sorry, it just murders me. The best part of it is the end. The poor guy. We don't anticipate that. So if you had to give out a Nobel Prize for science, does it go to Hank Johnson or does it go to interstellar star Sheila Jackson Lee?
So that you have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon, and sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat. It is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable. And you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
It's almost impossible to get near the sun. You've got to put on so much sunscreen. And let's not forget Sheila Jackson Lee. I don't know. Look, I'm not claiming to be a weapons expert. I know a little bit about weapons. But honestly, I don't even think I own very many guns that weigh 10 boxes.
I've held an AR-15 in my hand. I wish I had it. It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving. And the bullet that is utilized, a 50 caliber, these kinds of bullets, need to be licensed and do not need to be on the streets.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes. Can you believe it weighs 10 boxes? Staggering. Staggering. Look, it couldn't be more clear.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
A winner. We will declare a winner in the science competition. And then we're going to get to as many of these Ask Dr. Jesse questions as humanly possible right when I get back. Before we do that, maybe as you listen to She-Jack, maybe you're thinking, dang, she's really stupid. I don't want to sound stupid like that. Do I sound stupid? Well, listen, you might sound stupid like that. Have you been taking your chalk? You know, when you take a female vitality stack from chalk, ladies, you know it's not just about everything else. It's about how your mind works, how your mind feels. Are you ready to be full of pep? Ready to go? Tackle the moon and get close to the sun? That's what a female vitality stack from chalk... No, seriously. Make your mind work better. Make your body feel more full of energy and just feel good. Go start a stack from chalk and get a subscription so you don't pay full price like a sucker. 90 days. Take it for 90 days and tell me how you feel. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. If you miss me over the weekend, shoot me an email. I'll get back to it when on Monday when I get back. More Medal of Honor Monday. Email jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I think the winner of the science off, I think it has to be Hank Johnson, and here's why. No, listen. Chris disagrees, but listen to me. Hank Johnson was a one-off. Now, I admit that what Hank Johnson said is really dumb and that Hank Johnson thinks and says dumb things every day. But Hank Johnson, he is the light that shined so bright that he made himself into a contender with one thing. That's how dumb it was. Sheila Jackson Lee has made a career of this. My mentor, Michael Berry,
has more hilarious Sheila Jackson Lee montages on his show than you've ever heard in your lifetime. Honestly, I cry laughing whenever I hear one. Sheila Jackson Lee, her entire life is saying things like this. Honestly, we were going through some things during the break just because we wanted to keep going with it. We weren't sure if we were going to do that or not. But yes, this is really embarrassing. I'm not even sure this is her worst one. I don't even think it's close.
So that you have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon, and sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible.
Okay, I know that's bad. I know it's bad. But honestly, we could do an entire show of these.
The very wrong-headed decision that was made by the United States Supreme Court on the question of affirmative action. But I rise today as a clear recipient of affirmative action. I'm particularly in higher education.
She graduated from Yale. So that's Sheila Jackson Lee. Hank Johnson has never had a moment like this before. He's never had a moment like this since. But a grown man and a member of Congress was legitimately worried that too many people on one side of an island, you know, islands are connected to the ocean floor, but he was worried this one's going to go dippy-dip.
This is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Question for Friday, Jesse. What if future President Trump were to make life so difficult for illegals they would just self-deport? For example, mandatory federal prison sentences for any company who hires them, no more federal tax dollars, so on and so forth, heavy tax on any money they wire back home. What do you think of this idea? Well, I love that idea. I love the idea. And from what I understand, the Trump team, they plan on doing everything they can. And you would have to do that to try to get people to self-deport. Because, like we said, you're not rounding up 10 million people. The American people won't even stand for it. However, keep in mind, when people run for president, we tend to picture in our heads that they'll be kings once they get there. Meaning, okay, well, Trump says he wants to do this, he wants to do that, and he wants to tax this, he wants to tax that. Well, almost everything you just said there, these are laws that have to be passed. Laws that have to be passed through Congress. What kind of a Congress are we going to have? The same losers who just made sure FISA got through earlier today? These are the ones who are going to be standing strong with us and helping Trump deport illegals? These people love the daggone illegals. You see, we always have to make sure we keep in mind what's actually possible versus campaign promises. Dear Dr. Dong, what are your thoughts on country fried steak? When properly prepared and served with biscuits and gravy, I find it superior to all other breakfast meats. His name is Chris. Well, I generally call it chicken fried steak. I guess it depends on what part of the country you're from. I love chicken fried steak. I love chicken fried chicken. I actually do not like it with biscuits and gravy. I like it with a couple over-easy eggs on top of it. A little bit of hot sauce on there, some over-easy eggs. Oh, gosh, that's about as good as it gets. Now, is that superior to bacon? I don't know that I would say that's superior to bacon. I almost asked Chris what he thought, but I guess we already know. I don't think it's, I'd say it's superior to bacon. Michael, not superior to bacon, but it's good. It's very, very good. Jesse, I recall you said there's an incredible percentage of people in the USA that are on some type of medication. Is it possible that along with getting kickbacks from Big Pharma, that commies can use that against us, that 75%, so on and so forth? Listen, a staggering number of Americans are on medication compared to other nations. It's really, really bad. And we shouldn't have it here. But there are a laundry list of reasons for that that we can tackle. I guess we can tackle those next week because I'm out of time and up against the end of the show. So you put your phone down, go enjoy your weekend, spend time with your family and your community, and just put a smile on your face, all right? That's all.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.